Welcome to Eastern Standard, a broadcast service of Eastern Kentucky University, produced with the support of 1, the All-Tech Ideas Conference, and Dynamics Productions. I'm Tom Martin, and in this hour, we're focusing on that handy brain-feeding device, the one that ignites the imagination, informs us of the human condition, and provides opportunities for reflection, the book. Founded 75 years ago by historian Thomas Clark and other Kentuckians, the University Press of Kentucky has published thousands of books about Kentucky history, our music, art, literary traditions, our food and drink, and our politics. Earlier this year, the Kentucky General Assembly killed all state funds for the University Press, which serves the state's public universities and some private institutions as well. Yet, the press is still standing. Proof of that joins us now. Leela Salisbury is director of the University Press of Kentucky. Welcome, Leela.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So, as I understand it, you spent 13 years with the press and then on to Mississippi for 8 years with the Mississippi equivalent of the University Press. Right. And now you're back and into your third year in the lead at the University Press of Kentucky. The Great Recession happened on your watch soon after you arrived in Mississippi. And I'm wondering how that experience informed and prepared you for what happened to the press during the 2018 session of the Kentucky General Assembly.
Yes, that was a very formative experience for me. I was drawn to the Mississippi job simply because that was an operation structured in many ways like the press at Kentucky. We are one of very few consortium operations, meaning a press that's aligned with more than one educational institution. And so when I went to Mississippi, you know, I thought, okay, this job is going to be, you know, somewhat familiar. And then I inherited a budget, and 2 months later, the Great Recession happened. And someone at the time gave me the very sage advice of never waste a good crisis. So I think that's what we really tried to do at Mississippi. And, you know, the crisis then, as now, was financial. And I am grateful in retrospect, looking back, because I think the opportunity that we took was to look at making all parts of the operation as efficient as they needed to be, thinking about what was changing within publishing, sort of separate, you know, from the crumbling economy. It was just at the beginning in 2008 of print on demand, which has radically changed how presses are able to use inventory. We don't have to tie up a lot of cash in, you know, books that may not sell for 2 or more years. So it was kind of a deep dive into, let's look at all parts of this operation, figure out how we can continue to do the mission that we are here to do and to make that even stronger at the same time that we're figuring out how to cut the budget in some ways and just make the most effective use of new technologies available to us. So, you know, I remember very clearly working with the department heads on that in Mississippi. And when I came back here to Kentucky, that's really the first set of conversations that we had is doing the same kind of thing. And this, honestly, you know, was a year and a half before any of the budget things came up. But it was my sense that, you know, a press or any part of a university needs to be a good steward of the resources that it's given. And I think what the press does is so valuable and so incredible, and I wanted to make sure our stewardship of the resources that let us do that was equally responsible. And so we did a lot of the same kinds of things, looking at, you know, printing and inventory. And in terms of that, the press here was already in really great shape. A lot of what we looked at, too, was workflow and the kinds of staff we had. You know, we were outsourcing a lot of design. And I had the wonderful opportunity at Mississippi to work with 3 in-house designers. And I have to admit, I got a little spoiled by that. Mm-hmm. And it was also it brought strength and some operational heft that I felt was valuable. And so that's something we were able to do here that affected both some cost savings, but also brought us some new strengths and capacity. People who love books love the physical book. And that was an opportunity that I saw that, hey, we can be doing even better in this area and provide more service and also opportunities for students. We do work with a lot of students in-house. And that is one of the great joys, seeing my office is right in the front of the building and I see the students walk in and out of the door, and seeing the number of those students increase and also the diversity of those students increase. You know, that's something we've talked a lot about at the press. So I do feel that, you know, nearly all those experiences at Mississippi really translated. And I'm grateful for the fact that a lot of those conversations had been taking place for well over a year before the budget crisis came up, so that, you know, we were really in midstream of doing what we wanted to do to strengthen the operation anyway.
In retrospect, that was quite a convergence of emerging technologies coming at you all at once, at the same time having the bottom drop out with the recession. Has it made a difference to the survival of the press that it's among the few university presses in the country that's actually a consortium? And what does the Kentucky version of that arrangement look like?
I do think it really does help, because one of the things that I think we saw in the political discussions that happened in the spring was just the sheer number of phone calls from places all across the state, not just here in Lexington, but because, you know, we enjoy relationships with universities, you know, from Murray in the far west to Moorhead in the east. People on those campuses and people who read our books were calling in from places all over Kentucky. And I do think that was something that was very important, and also pointed out that we do have a real statewide mission and not just a, you know, a single campus focus. So I think that brought a lot of strength. And the idea of the consortium makes so much sense to me. If you look at the Mississippi and the Kentucky consortium side by side, we are slightly different in that our consortium here at Kentucky does include some private universities and the two major historical societies in the state. And the financial arrangement at Mississippi was a little different. It was started as a consortium press in 1970. So the arrangement there is that the allocation funding, the additional funding for the press, comes from each of the partner institutions, sort of broken out, you know, by their size and what percentage of legislative funding they get generally. So, but that was not the arrangement in the founding of Kentucky. The press started in 1943, actually, as the University of Kentucky Press, and then in 1968, Dr. Clark began some discussions saying, you know, really, this needs to – we all need to work together with these campus partners and make this consortium. So in 69, that was passed, and we've gone that way since. So in terms of the financial discussion – it's a little bit like trying to put a cat back in a bag, which is not the easiest thing to do. But I would argue the consortium brings us incredible strength, not only in just the geographic nature of what we do, but it also brings the press a lot of intellectual heft in that, you know, we are able to deal with faculty at all our campuses very closely. And I've done one of the things I did in the first year and a half here was I did formal campus visits to every one of our consortium partners and, you know, asked them all, what are your pain points in scholarly publishing? What do you want to see the press doing more of? And just the individual meetings I had with faculty and sometimes staff were so heartening. They're fascinating Kentucky regional projects. There was a large mushroom farming operation in Mammoth Cave in the 19th century in Kentucky. You know, I did not realize we've got five different MFA programs in the state. And one of the things we're doing is kind of trying to capitalize on that and do some more creative kinds of things through a special series that we have with Center. So I think being present and interacting with faculty on these campuses gives us so many more important books and projects that we can develop.
Many of the books published by the University Press over the decades have defined what it means to be a Kentuckian.
Yes, absolutely.
And so I'm wondering, and I imagine many who have watched what's happened in the past year are wondering what the impact of these budget stresses are having on your ability to carry forward that tradition.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the conversations that we had when I first came back was, and I think this is a question any organization should ask itself periodically, and, you know, the opportunity of having a new director is always a good chance to ask that question. You know, we sat around a table and said, what is it that this press does the very best? You know, what is it we have capacity for? What are our areas of strength? You know, how do we make that even more effective? And a lot of those conversations then revolved around our publishing and Kentuckian Regional History and publishing about Appalachia. This is a moment in American history where there does seem to be a more than ever a laser focus on Appalachia, often not for the things that we as people of Appalachia would like for this region to be known for.
And do I understand that you have a new partnership with the Hindman Settlement School toward that end?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And so, you know, in having these conversations, we thought, you know, how can we continue to grow this capacity? So reaching out to partners like Hindman who you know, have amazing writers and contacts and people we want to be working with anyway, it just sort of reinforces the idea of the consortium that we are stronger through partnerships. And if there are other ways we can define these partnerships, how can we broaden the kinds of material we get, you know, our editorial reach through key people who are interacting with amazing writers and thinkers and that are focusing on a lot of these questions. So I guess if you're asking if we have less capacity to do that, I will say traditionally the role of many university presses, we are businesses on the one hand. We have to deal with Amazon and vendors and bookstores, independent and chain, just like any other publisher. On the flip side, a lot of what we tend to publish are things that might not sell enough copies, honestly, for a traditional large commercial publisher to take on. And Kentucky is a small population state comparatively within the U.S., and, you know, my fear would be that, you know, if there weren't the outlet of the press, especially for a lot of these rich first studies of primary materials dealing with our history and culture, if the press didn't publish those books, I'm not sure how those books would ever get done.
You mentioned Amazon and so forth, and I'm just wondering, not too long ago, it was predicted that the digital ebook would soon replace the paper version, that it was the death of the paper book that we hold in our hand. E-books have been around for a while now.
Right.
How accurate was that prediction?
Well, it's funny. I joked earlier this year, maybe a gallows humor. I said, you know, the demise of the press has been greatly exaggerated and that, you know, we're still around. And I think the same can be said of the print book. If you look now that what happened was basically the adopters who liked reading on the Kindle and other e-readers sort of maxed out at about 20% of the market. And if you look at, you know, the studies of reading habits of Americans, the e-reader sort of is just one tool they use. It may be something people use when they're traveling or they can't fit, you know, 10 books in a suitcase. But those people often tend to also be people who have a physical book lying on the bedside. Really, what we try to do, and we publish all our new titles in, you know, print and several different kinds of electronic versions. I think we acknowledge that readers want to come to our content through a variety of different ways. They may, you know, be discovering something through a library search engine and want to just look at one paragraph, you know, that they sort of need for a paper or something. But if it's a source they really want to use more in depth, they often will turn to the print book for that and get that copy. So, you know, again, I'm just trying to make that information easily accessible in as many different formats as we need. But definitely the print book is not going away. And I think some of what we've done in-house and thinking about the kinds of books we want to be publishing, a renewed focus on architecture, you know, arts in Kentucky, some of those very visual books that necessarily need a physical format. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, even in the moment of the ebook, you know, we're doing more of those kind of real print books.
Leela Salisbury, director of the University Press of Kentucky, we thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You have to love irony. Leela Salisbury was actually late for her interview because the truck delivering our next guest's new book had blocked her car. Coming up after the break, University of Press author Dr. James Clotter on the second edition of A New History of Kentucky, which is hot off the presses, so hot it made Leela late. I'm Tom Martin, and you're listening to Eastern Standard on WEKU.
Thank you.